Well, thanks for coming to People's Rights. It's just a few of us, but these are the right people in the right place at the right time, huh? So, first, before I get started, does anybody have any business that needs to be taken care of as far as running the meetings? I can't think of anything, but if any of you can, let's talk about it. No? Okay. There is one thing I do want to mention. We do need to find somebody that can promote our meetings other than Ben, at least for a couple weeks, because Ben is involved in the campaign of Claudia Agraz. So he can't really promote our meetings, and we got to get our attendance up. So let's find somebody that can spread the word on social media and so forth. But so let's get started. So today I thought I would talk about how we win. How are we going to win? So the good news, you may not believe this, but the good news is we already won. It's now just a question of time and how long and how much damage it's going to do before we get these evil people out of our lives. So according to the mainstream media, we're not having any effect at all. However, if you recall, during the early part of the pandemic, they wanted to roll out something called vaccine passports all over the world. They wanted to roll these things out. And I can now announce with all confidence that they have completely failed to implement vaccine passports all over the world. The people all over the world rejected it so firmly and so strongly that they haven't been successful in one single country. There's little pockets of resistance where they're still trying, like LA City Hall, for example. But for the most part, all over the world, we beat them back and we stopped them. So how did we do that? How did that happen? It doesn't seem like we're doing anything, right? Doesn't seem like we're doing much, but actually we are. We're doing a lot. So I'll take you back in history a little bit to 2001 when 9/11 happened. So when 9/11 happened, very shortly after that, something called the 9/11 Truth Movement got started. And one of the first things they were talking about was the Pentagon and what happened there at the Pentagon. So there was a book released in early 2002 called Pentagate by this French researcher who found that the hole in the side of the Pentagon was too small to accommodate the plane that they said hit that building. And ever since then, the truth movement has grown and grown and grown and grown. But one of the major accomplishments of the truth movement is that now, all across the world, the majority of people believe 9/11 was an inside job because of all the information we put out over all these years, consistently put out great information. We've formed organizations like Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. And now there's almost 3,000, I believe, architects and structural engineers that are part of that group. And we put out numerous full-length documentaries. And the end result has been that in spite of the media consistently lying to people about 9/11 all over the world, we have won the information war when it comes to 9/11. And all we did was tell the truth. That's all we did. We got out there and told the truth about what we saw and what we learned. And so, you know, back then it took a while to expose all the little bits of evidence related to 9/11. But that process has accelerated to warp speed now because of our experience with 9/11. So it took years for us to really get up ahead of steam with 9/11 before we first really started releasing the more damning bits of evidence that showed that the government's story was a lie. But now, when a false flag happens, and if you're not familiar with a false flag, that's when an event happens supposedly initiated by one group. In reality, it's initiated by a separate group hoping to blame the original group. So, for example, 9/11 was a false flag attempting to blame Islam and the Arabs and all the enemies of Israel. So that's what 9/11 was about, blaming Arabs and getting us into Desert Storm to enrich the military-industrial complex. That's what 9/11 was really all about. There's a lot more to it, but that's what it was about. So after 9/11, we started getting really, really good at finding out that an event is false or we've been lied to about it using the tools of the internet. So then came some other false flags, like Sandy Hook. So a lot of people think you shouldn't say that Sandy Hook was a false flag. But I'm here to tell you it was. I've researched it carefully. And I don't believe anyone died at Sandy Hook. I believe the whole thing was a fraud. And there's a lot of evidence to back that up. But the good news, what I'm driving at, is that people are getting much, much quicker at finding out the details that don't add up in these major world events. So recently we had the Uvalde, Texas shooting. And what happened there was a lot of independent reporters went to Uvalde and started walking the streets, going into the police station, talking to the police, talking to the detectives, demanding release of information on the investigation. And all of a sudden, the whole thing got shut down. The Uvalde shut down all the reporters. They quit releasing information. They sealed off all the family members so that they couldn't be reached by the press anymore, the real press. And they basically just admitted that they lied about that too. But the point is, we caught them super fast compared to 9/11. So that process is only accelerating. So what else have we done? How are we winning? Well, we just got done exposing massive voter fraud in the presidential election. 2,000 mules contains all the evidence you'll ever need that proves that the election was stolen. A lot of people don't know this, but when Obama was president, there was an investigation into where he was actually born. There was an investigation into his birth certificate. And the White House, Obama's White House, released a copy of his birth certificate. And they put it on the whitehouse.gov website. So I downloaded it, and I took a look at it because I'm experienced with photography and photoshopping and so forth. And it turns out there are over a dozen different layers of editing on that birth certificate. So it's definitely a fraud. But we know that now for sure because Sheriff Arpaio hired an investigator to really look into that birth certificate. And this guy was a 20-year veteran detective. And he took it to forensic document examiners, and they determined that it is undoubtedly a fraud. So we proved that too. So the question is, what are we doing with this information, right? How has that changed things? Well, the main change that's happened because of all these things that I'm talking about is how quick we're uncovering their lies and how ineptly they're maintaining their status quo now. They're having a very, very difficult time maintaining their lies for very long because people are wise to them. So just recently, to speak of Obama, he was giving a speech trying to rally the Democrats to vote for the Democrats again. And a chant broke out in the audience that was so loud he couldn't overcome it. It was F Joe Biden. F Joe Biden. The crowd got so loud and raucous with that chant that Obama couldn't use his powers of persuasion to get the crowd to stop. He basically had to walk away. So people aren't buying it anymore. So what I want to do, John, is I'll go to questions in a minute. So we've exposed the voter fraud. We're exposing false flags faster than ever. We defeated the vaccine passports all over the world. And what some of us in this particular group are doing is we've come to realize that our government is a corporation rather than a government. So what's been our response? Well, we're becoming nationals. So we're no longer under that government. So to every move that the bad guys are making, we're countering it, and we're countering it effectively. So the only question is not whether we're going to win, because we've already won. The question is, how much time is it going to take, and how much damage are they going to do before we finally get them out of here? So a lot of people may not be familiar with this, but the police seem no longer to be interested in helping and serving the people. They're more interested in serving the government and collecting money through ticket schemes and various things like that. So the police are not really serving us anymore. So what's been the people's response? I mean, they've ignored the Constitution on many occasions. So what's the response? Well, Sheriff Mack starts the Constitutional Sheriffs and Police Officers Association. And now there's constitutional sheriffs all over the country. And it's only growing every day. It's growing, 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 growing. The Oath Keepers got started. And they're all about keeping your oath to the Constitution. That's why they got started. So their organization got really, really big. Now they're under attack because of January 6th. But the point is, for every move that the bad guys are making, the people are not only responding, but we're winning. So if you go into what we're dealing with today with the medical industry, okay, I personally believe, and this is just my opinion, but I personally believe that Big Pharma and Big Medicine is intentionally killing us with these injections. Intentionally. Now, that's a hard pill for people to swallow, because why would they do that? Well, Pfizer made $20 billion in profit off the vaccine. So is $20 billion enough motivation for some of these greedy corporate monsters to do stuff like this? Yes, it is. And this is not the first time our government has done evil stuff to us medically. If you think back to the Tuskegee experiments, and on and on and on and on, they've done so many things that it's amazing that we allow them to continue to exist in their present form. But one little thing they did to our troops at one point, they were testing the nuclear bomb at the Nevada test site. And they took a squad of troops and they marched them out to ground zero less than 10 minutes after the bomb went off. And they knew, of course, that that area was extremely radioactive, obviously. So all those guys died a horrible death. And that's just what we've come to expect from our government lately. But the good news is that we know this. In the past, we might never have even found out about that. But now we know all these little details about the government. They thought they were going to use the internet to control us. But we've turned the whole thing around on them. And now we're using it to expose them for what they really are. So their own weapon that they were going to use against us was developed by DARPA, by the way. we've turned it against them. And to the point now where we actually had a senator, Senator Rockefeller, at one point said we should just shut off the internet. Okay. Because they're losing so badly that's what they want to do. That's the kind of thinking they have. You know, so their demeanor speaks volumes. So now when you deal with the police pulling you over, for example, a lot of people are taking out their camera and they're recording the stop and they're asserting their rights during the stop. And some of the police don't like it. Some of them are okay with it, but some of them don't like it. And what does that tell you about their demeanor? It tells you that they've got something they want to hide. Because any detective will tell you your demeanor says more than anything else about you. So the FBI just recently released a memo saying that people that quote the Constitution are an internal threat to the country. I have the memos, by the way, if you want to take a look at them. Yeah, the FBI says if they quote the Founding Fathers, they're most likely a domestic terrorist. That's the FBI's demeanor. They're admitting that they're no longer interested in America or the Constitution or what we're supposed to stand for. They don't care about that. They're doing something else. So, in regard to the medical industry, what have people done now that we've exposed that they're trying to kill us? What have people done? Well, I first started questioning the medical industry only a couple years ago. I've been questioning the vaccine idea for a long time, but I never doubted my doctor until about 2 years ago. So since that time, I've been looking for all kinds of alternatives to going to the doctor, trying to heal myself. And I can announce today that one of the things that I did was I started looking at my diet and what they were telling me was healthy and what I thought was healthy because I was listening to them. So I would buy all these, you know, healthy cereals like Grape Nuts. I thought Grape Nuts was the best thing in the world. Oh, no. Oh, was I wrong? So that's just another thing they lied about. So I read Dr. Adkins' book on the Adkins diet, and I've been on that for 2 months, and I'm officially down 55 pounds as of today. So as soon as I stop listening to the mainstream and stop listening to the doctors, man, it just melted off of me. Just so easy. It's been the easiest 2 months I've ever had. And I've tried diets before, and very tough, very tough. But this piece of cake, it's natural the way it feels. So, so what the system, or you can call it the New World Order or the Illuminati, whatever you want to call it, what these guys really are after is control and power. That's what they want. So how far are they willing to go to get that? It seems like there's no limits to how far they'll go, right? Well, I want to tell you a little story today about how far they will really go. And you won't believe this until I show you. So I started a little company called the Rare Earth Company. And I made these little bottles of, they're just collectible soil samples from unusual places. So I would go to like Area 51 and collect some soil from there and bottle it up and put a label on it and sell it to gift stores. And I've sold a whole lot of these. So I was originally going to go to all the Major League Baseball parks and get some infield dirt from all the big parks and sell it as sports memorabilia. I was going to do all this stuff. Well, I found out real quick, the Major League Baseball won't let you do anything. So they didn't go for the idea. But I ended up going to some national parks because I wanted to get some samples from like the Grand Canyon and some of these more awesome parks that we have. So when I was at the Grand Canyon, I was collecting my soil sample, and a ranger came up to me, and he said, "Hey, what are you doing?" And I said, "Well, we're just collecting some dirt." And I told him, "Hey, we're gonna bottle it, and we're gonna sell it, and you know, it's this great idea, right?" And he says, no, you can't do that. You cannot do that." And he proceeded to scold me, and he said, "You can't take anything from a national park, not even dirt." And I said, "You got to be kidding me." But he was very serious. So we ended up leaving the Grand Canyon, and I collected a sample outside of the Grand Canyon, and we went on about our business. Well, cut to about 2 years later, I'm selling these online, and I get a contact from a guy who wants to buy one of my samples from Joshua Tree. Okay? Joshua Tree National Park. And so I sell him one, and he seems to really like the idea. He says, I want to go up. I'm going up north to Northern California, and I'll collect some for you and bring them back. I want to be part of this." So, being naive, I said, "Okay, sounds good." So he went up and did his trip in Northern California, and came back, and he met with me, and he brought his soil samples that he collected, and we talked, and I showed him my little garage. I just have a little operation, you know. It's a little mom and pop thing. It's not making much money. And he left. So I left to go to the store. The next thing I know, my wife calls me on the phone and says, "Oh, that guy that was just here, he left his keys in the garage." And I said, "No, I don't think so. I don't think so." But she says, "Well, you got to come home." And as it turns out, these were Forestry Service special agents, and they were investigating me for taking dirt from a national park. And they were there to serve a warrant on my apartment, with the warrant I still have, and I can show it to you. So they searched my entire apartment and my garage for dirt. I kid you not. There was 8 Forestry Service agents involved in the search. And they spent an entire day at my house searching from top to bottom, including the refrigerator, for dirt. And I said to one of them at one point, I said, I can't believe you guys are actually doing this. And they said, oh, yeah, this is very serious. And I said, no, it's not. It's like taking water out of the ocean. And they just blew that off. Anyway, to make a long story short, they seized all the dirt samples that were from national parks. And they said they were going to take me to prison for doing it. And I was going to face a $10,000 fine and a bunch of other consequences of this. So they took my video camera, which I used to document my trips. They took my computer and they kept it all for about 3 months. And then one day he came back and gave me back my stuff. And I got my stuff back and I said, well, what's going to happen now? And he says, well, they have up to 2 years to file charges or whatever. I don't know what's going to happen, even though he was the special agent in charge. So anyway, I wait a full 2 years, and just before the time elapsed, I get what looks like a traffic ticket in the mail. And it says, I have to report to Joshua Tree National Park Court because they're charging me with theft of government property for stealing dirt. So if anybody, by the way, if you guys want to look at these, take a look. So 8 special agents from the Forestry Service raided my house, and they were all from out of state. So I don't know. I've only estimated, but they must have spent at least $100,000 prosecuting me for taking dirt. At least. That's a minimum. Because this guy was investigating me for upwards of 2 years. So anyway, I get this summons to go to court. And I show up and there's a magistrate there. And I said, well, you know, I need a defense counsel. And they said initially no. And anyway, I back and forth many, many trips to court because that's what they like to do. They like to wear you out and make you finally just go, well, I've had enough. I quit. I'm not going to fight this anymore. That's what they want. And I will forever regret the way I handled that, and I'll never handle it the same way again. But the culmination of the case was that I had to come up with my own defense, even though I had a defense attorney. And I said to the defense attorney, who was telling me all these dire consequences, how I'm going to go to jail and I'm going to have to pay this huge fine and blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, the statute for theft of government property says that the punishment is commensurate with the value of what was taken. And I said, well, dirt has no intrinsic value. So how are they going to establish value? So the prosecutor then took that and thought about it. And then she says, well, you were going to sell these for $5 each, right? So they figured out how much dirt I had and how many bottles I could fill. And they were going to charge me for that amount of money that I had stolen. And I said, well, no, because I paid for the bottles and I did the labels myself. So the only thing that was taken was dirt. And there's no intrinsic value. So what are you going to do? So she didn't know what to do with this, obviously. And the judge was just kind of, you know, smirking at all this. And so finally, she put me through the ringer where I had to go back and forth to Riverside a bunch of times, give up a day's work each time. This is how they do it. They make you go back and forth so many times that you just give up. That, by the way, is also how car salesmen get you to buy a car. In case you don't know that, their objective is to keep you at the dealership until you're so worn out and tired that you just sign and pay for the car. That's how they do it. So this is how our court system works. So they eventually wore me down, and they were gonna do theft of government property. And I said, well, tell the prosecutor that I will not plead guilty to that, but if you come up with something else that I can explain to future employers, I'll consider it. And so she thought about it for a while, and she came back with this deal where if I pled guilty to unauthorized removal of natural products from a national park, that she would let me go with a $25 fine and 5 years probation where I couldn't go into national parks. So I foolishly agreed to that. I should have taken it to court because they would have been the laughing stock of the world if I did that. But I'd lost so much work and spent so much time going back and forth that I fell into their little trap. But anyway, that's how far the government will go to control literally every grain of sand on the ground. That's how crazy they are. So anyway, I'm now past my probation period, and I'm free to go to national parks once again. But no, I won't be collecting any dirt. I'm going to make that very clear on video. But just think about all the resources and time and effort they spent to prosecute me, and their net result was they got $25 out of me and put me on probation. By the way, when my probation officer showed up out of the blue a couple months later, he just showed up at my door. He came in with a partner, woke me up, and I got up and said, oh, I'm your new probation officer. And I said, oh, okay. And he says, I don't really understand this. What is it you did? So I went in, I showed him those bottles, and I told him the whole story. And he was just with his mouth open. And he said, I can't believe it. And he said, okay, here's the deal. You're never going to see me again. I'm not coming back. So call me in about a year, and I'll see if I can get the rest of the probation thrown out. Okay, and he gave me his card, and he walked away. And he was chuckling when he walked away. But if you think about it, they expose themselves for what they really are in a lot of different ways. If you just sit back and analyze it for a minute. What do these Forestry Service agents have to do with their time? They're getting paid a handsome salary. So apparently they have nothing better to do with their time than to prosecute me for collecting a soil sample at a national park and spend a lot of time on it too. So what are we paying these guys for exactly? What are they doing? See, it's an enormous boondoggle. The point is, they don't have anything to do. They have to make up stuff to justify their existence. That's how crazy it is. So anyway, I thought you guys might like that story. And I came up with the defense, by the way. My defense attorney was completely useless. He was appointed by the court. Completely. So how do we win faster than we're already winning? So there's a couple ways we can win faster. Number one is we have to learn how to say no. No, I won't comply with that. I will not do that. The answer is no. So Gandhi did this, and he took it to its logical conclusion. And the logical conclusion was that the British Empire had to leave India because they could not overcome his resistance. That's how we win. It's right there. It's so obvious. The government is actually, and the people doing all this evil stuff, they're actually extremely weak. All we have to do is say no. So what are they going to do? When you say no, they're going to try to scare you. That's the next thing they'll do. They'll try to scare you. So if you can reject the fear and just say, no, you're not going to scare me. No, I'm still not going to comply. Oh, you're threatening my job because I won't take your injection? No, I still won't comply. If you do that, I have some very encouraging news to report. In New York State, all the workers that were fired for refusing the vaccine have now been ordered to be reinstated and given all back pay for missed time in New York City. So I bet that one stung the bad guys a little bit. Because now they have to pay them for all that time back pay that they didn't even work. Because they overstepped. They tried to push it too far, and enough people stood up, and we stopped them. So the people can win, and we are winning. It's just that you don't see it in the press. Because the press is working for the bad guys. So the press is not where you want to get your information at all. The independent media is huge. It's absolutely massive now. If you all want to take a little trip into some really interesting stuff, take a look on YouTube for First Amendment Audit. Look up First Amendment Auditors. Okay? And there's thousands of them all over the country, and some of the best ones I can give you. One guy, his name is Long Island Audits. Another one is Amagansett Press. And then there's High Desert Community Watch. There's James Freeman. There's all these auditors out there, and all they do is they take their video cameras and they walk into federal buildings, police stations, post offices, any federal or state property, and they challenge them and see if they will respect our First Amendment right to videotape our public servants while they're in the course of their duties in public. I don't know if you all know this, but it is absolutely 100% constitutionally protected for you to take your video camera and videotape any police officer, any official, anybody in any federal building, with the rare exception of courthouses where judges have somehow managed to circumvent the Constitution and they won't allow cameras in the courtroom itself. But you can go into the foyer, into the lobby areas, and videotape. So what these guys do, and girls, there's some great ones, is they challenge the police by simply walking into their stations with a camera rolling. And almost every time, the police react negatively, really negatively. It's like, how dare you videotape us? Oh my God. And they act the fool almost every time. And now there have been so many incidents where they really acted aggressive towards these auditors that now the auditors have taken many municipalities to court and won major court cases against them. And believe me, there's some auditors out there that are getting rich off this because the authorities are so bad about it. But that tells you their demeanor. They think it's okay to watch you and to inspect everything that you do and say, but they don't like it when we turn the cameras around on them and point them their direction. They don't like it at all. But guess what? We're winning there too. So now the municipalities all over the country are starting to realize, hey, maybe we better not mess with these First Amendment auditors anymore because they're winning every single time in court and they're winning huge settlements and it's really getting expensive. So we're hitting them in their pocketbook. But what does the demeanor of the authorities tell you? If they're getting so upset by somebody simply walking in with a camera, which it's their absolute right to do that, but yet they're literally losing their minds because of this. They're going berserk. Cops have even tackled people to the ground for holding a camera. I kid you not. Well, that's those cities where that stuff happens. They have to pay a lot of money. So they're starting to get the idea that maybe the people aren't going to back down. And they're not. So watch some of those First Amendment audits. You'll be extremely impressed and encouraged because they're right in the faces of the authorities and they're winning. You know, they're confronting cops now when they get pulled over and the cops wants to write them a taxation receipt, a ticket. So people know their rights now. So we're beating them there too. So I guess the bottom line is we win by doing what we're doing, continuing to do what we're doing. And the main thing we need to do is reject the fear that they project to us every day. We need to tell the truth. And most importantly, what people's rights is all about, we stand our ground and we're going to win. Thanks. So I'll hang around if anybody has questions or we can just chat amongst ourselves, whatever you guys want. But if you do have a question, please go up to the mic.
My question is, I guess it's a little bit of a statement. Sometimes I think that maybe the cops, the authorities, like you said, not so much that maybe they're all hiding something, but a lot of them really are clueless. They don't know the Constitution.
That's right.
So when something happens, like let's say the cop does pull me over or what have you, what would you suggest be my demeanor, our demeanor?
Well, I am kind of a specialist in fighting tickets, and my advice is to not try to argue your case there on the spot with the police officer. You can assert your rights, but don't get in an argument because it's pointless, because you're right. Most of the cops don't know the law at all. For example, I'll give you an example of how cops most of the time they don't know the law at all. So this was early in the pandemic. I went into a grocery store to buy groceries. They freaked out because I wasn't wearing a mask and they called the cops on me. So the cops showed up and said I have to leave, and I said no, I have a mask exemption and I need to buy groceries, and this, you know, you can't do this. And they said, well, the manager wants you trespassed. So what is trespassing? Okay. If you look up the statute for trespassing, it says that the person has to be creating some kind of a disturbance for them to be trespassed from a public place like that. Okay? So, was I creating a disturbance by shopping? No. They were creating the disturbance. So, the threat of trespass was completely pointless. And I found out later, after attending a meeting at Gia's house, that the district attorney in Los Angeles was not even prosecuting any of those trespass cases. They refused them. So it was a completely empty threat. Okay, the cops showed up, and we're going to trespass you. One of them was even putting his gloves on like he was going to go hands-on with me. And I eventually walked out and I said, you know, you guys, I didn't have nice things to say. But anyway, the point is they don't know the Constitution. They're not teaching them the Constitution. They're there to make money for the city. That's really their motivation. So sad, but it's true. And a lot of the times they'll say, what are you, a lawyer? You know, to the people that are arguing with them. And I would say, well, no, I'm not a lawyer, but I do know more about the law than you apparently do, because you're wrong, you know. But anyway, yeah, you're right about the cops. Go ahead.
Those who know me know that I am all about the Constitution and the oath of office, which is the most powerful thing that you can use against them. So if you want to know what to do, you can ask them. Well, first of all, what nobody seems to realize, and I've got a blog about this, but I haven't released the whole thing yet. I'm hoping to get it all finished so I can release my website with my blogs. But when the officer pulls you over, what you don't realize is you have been arrested.
Right. It's called a custodial arrest.
You're under arrest. So
yeah.
One of the good things you can say to the officer, you better have a damn good reason for arresting me. What's your reason?
Yeah. Yeah. So this gets into a whole discussion about the legalities of them pulling you over and whether or not you're detained or not. And they always play this little game. You ask them, am I being detained? And they won't answer.
Yeah, you're asking the wrong question. It's supposed, you can say, I know that I am arrested because you have interfered with my right to move around and travel.
Right.
And
it is a custodial arrest.
You don't have to ask them. You have to know. You should know you've been arrested.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's another thing we can go into as well, which is all these officials are bonded. So you can go after their bond also for dereliction of duty. And there's people successfully doing that now. All these officials that were promoting all this nonsense, like masking kids in schools and forcing people to take injections that they don't want. By the way, on the point of injections that people don't want, you have to think about this for a second. And a lot of people don't realize this, but if you allow someone else to decide for you what goes in your body, then you have just become a slave. You are now a slave, whether you realize it or not, because someone else is making your decisions for you, and you are now a slave. So all these companies that coerced all these people, they're now starting to get to the point where they're getting their press jackals to ask for forgiveness and amnesty. No, there won't be forgiveness or amnesty for this. You guys are going to prison because what you did was against American law. It's against international law. It's against the laws of informed consent. It's against every right and medical ethic that exists for them to have done this. These guys are fascist scum that did this. and there will be no deals. No deals.
On the question of slavery, the question is, are you a voluntary slave or an involuntary slave?
Right. Voluntary or involuntary, yeah. Well, most people are voluntary slaves.
And don't know it.
Yeah, so, anyway.
And like I have said before in the past, and I'm going to continue using because I had, this was actually an epiphany to me, is the last six words of the Pledge of Allegiance. Do you remember what that is?
I have to go through it. Hang on. Indivisible and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all.
Yeah.
That is huge because that has huge, right, even mammoth implications.
Yeah. Exactly.
Because we haven't had that. Yeah.
Thanks, John.
And
Karen?
For what you had said, I could probably speak for at least a half an hour, maybe an hour.
Well, we should have you do that. Thanks, John.
I have a question, but I also have a comment about
sure.
the sand or the dirt. I totally agree that people shouldn't be taking anything from national parks, and it bugs me when
right.
I see children taking
right.
shells from the beach or whatever. So, or even when they're feeding squirrels, you know, and like
right.
when I feel like the rangers aren't doing anything, like stop this. So I but I mean, what they did to you is ridiculous.
Yeah.
But anyway, what I did.
No, that's fair.
I'm probably
the
only one here. okay, regarding Sandy Hook, I don't know much about it.
Okay.
But I know that I can't think of his name, but he. The one
Alex
that's
Jones?
Alex Jones, thank you. So if
yeah.
it's if it didn't really happen, how are they able to make him pay $1 billion? Or
well, he
or,
gave in to the fear. He reversed his position, and he should never have done that.
Oh.
He made a mistake. He let them bully him into saying something that wasn't true. Because there's huge amounts of evidence that it was a lie. The whole thing's a lie. All the police reports, sealed. Death certificates, sealed. Those are supposed to be public record. Period. They're supposed to be public record. But they're all sealed.
So the families aren't even coming forward? Like, because they say that you've hurt these families and...
Right. They're claiming they're hurt because someone has an opinion that they lied.
Right.
Yeah. That's my First Amendment right.
Are these families coming forward though? I mean, I guess I need to look.
Yeah,
more
there's
into it.
there's several of them. A couple of them were involved in suing Alex Jones, but there's one guy, Leonard Posner, who is really going after anybody online that says the official story is a lie related to Sandy Hook. And he supposedly, and I say supposedly because I don't believe it's true, he supposedly lost his son at Sandy Hook. But there's a couple pieces of absolutely damning evidence that you cannot get around at Sandy Hook.
I'll have
okay?
to ask you later. Maybe you can tell me.
Well, I'll tell you one of them
okay.
right now. There's heavy video and photography done at the school during and after the event. So one of the photographs that emerged after the event was the front window next to the front door where supposedly Adam Lanza entered the school. There's a broken window. But it's not completely broken out. It's just a circular break in the window. Okay? Now, the officials said that an entire SWAT team went in through that same opening. But the opening is too small for the men to have fit through with their equipment. So therefore, it is impossible for them to have gone through that window because it's still there. It's not broken any further. There's glass remaining all the way around, and the hole is obviously too small for them to have gotten through. And there's dozens of little things like that. Some photographs show that the crime scene was being staged because things are moved at different points in time. And there's also helicopter footage from above, which shows police officers rushing in and so forth. And they some intrepid investigators took a look at that video, and they found out that the parking lot scheme was not from Sandy Hook. So they staged a scene of cops rushing into a school, but the school was actually St. Rose of Lima. It wasn't Sandy Hook at all. And the parking lot layout proves it. So they totally staged it. They staged the officers going in. There's also a picture of a teacher leading students out to their safety, right? Except there's two pictures of that same scene. And in the two different pictures, the order of the children is changed. So it obviously happened twice. So they were staging pictures of the kids being taken out. Because supposedly there's an active shooter in the school, right? So they're not going to stand around and change the position of the kids and then take another picture. They're going to get them the hell out of there, right? So there's dozens of things like that.
Okay, I didn't. It's one more thing I need to learn about.
Sure.
Thanks.
Hello.
Hello, Ira.
Hello, Adam. So talking about the window not big enough, I'm sure you can do the Paul Pelosi thing, right? About
That's oh, yeah.
Another false flag thing.
Yeah.
Did we land on the moon? I'm sure you have a lot to say about those. But that's not what I'm questioning. So I think I touched upon this when I first arrived, that you know, I went to vote in person yesterday, and the woman is there, the poll worker, whatever she is, and she said, well, you have to wear gloves or do the hand sanitizer to go in. And so I figured, is this a battle I want to fight? Because this lady's there. I said, you know, study after study shows that it, I didn't even give it a name, I said, it doesn't pass on surfaces. And, you know, of course, but so I just did the hand sanitizer thing. But, you know, if I would have made a stink, you're suppressing my vote because I can't go in because of these things.
Right.
They would have gotten the supervisor and everything. I said, I just want to go in. So I spent my 5 seconds with the hand sanitizer. But, you know, is that a battle that, you know, it's fine, I'm not going to fight that one? Or what are your thoughts?
That's a really good point, because sometimes, as people that are activists, we tend to take on too many fights, and we sacrifice our own lives because of that. So you definitely have to pick and choose your battles and decide where and when you want to make a stand. And there's nothing wrong with that, because we actually are the people that are stopping this evil from getting worse. It's us. And we got to give ourselves a break sometimes and just unplug from all of this stuff and go take a vacation and see something nice, you know, see some beauty. I took a trip to Montana just for that reason.
Go to a national park.
Yeah, exactly. Now I can go to a national park. Yeah, exactly.
It's important to always ask them when they say you have to do this, what's the authority?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they have no authority. There's no law.
You ask, what is the authority? And they have to show you, tell you what law it is so you can read it.
Right. Well, since the beginning, the whole thing about masking, buried in the text of the orders from the CDC, it says the following people are exempt from this recommendation. And it's always been a recommendation, which is not a law. People with asthma, people with COPD, people with lung cancer, blah, 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 blah. Kids with mental disabilities, blah, 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 blah. There's whole wide groups of people that are exempt from the masks. And none of these companies that are just blanket enforcing it are following that at all. And they're completely ignoring the fact that it isn't a law. There is no law.
Right.
Plus, I would add to that, that there's undeniable evidence that the masks do not work at all, and they're harmful. And that evidence has been around since the beginning.
As far as Sandy Hook goes, a friend of mine who's a real, she follows a lot of different people in the truth movement, and she has recently been sending me information on the people who are now adults who were supposedly killed at Sandy Hook. They're alive and kicking and running around
and
getting married and having babies and all that stuff. So that's, you know, very interesting. But as far as the masks and asthma, I am an asthmatic, and I kept that section of it printed in my pocket with me.
Right.
But by the time I found out about it, I was just going into stores, and they weren't bothering me anymore.
Right, right.
But it is very, it's very true.
Yeah.
Yeah, so thank you.
Sure, sure. Well, you know, in relation to Sandy Hook again, it's the all the kids that were supposedly killed sang at the Super Bowl a year later. And Wolfgang Halbig tried to get the NFL to release the names of all the kids that appeared to prove that it was the kids that were supposedly killed at Sandy Hook. And the NFL refused to release the names.
Wow.
So, there you go.
There you go. I have two things to say. With Sandy Hook, first, that you can Google or search for a book by... James Fetcher wrote about Sandy Hook.
Yeah.
And it's free PDF you can find online.
Right.
And the second thing I heard...
His book was censored off of Amazon, by the way.
Yeah. And the second thing I heard was that you can go BLM land and take gemstones or dirt from BLM land. It's legal. So...
Right. Hey, Cam.
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
Good
to see you again.
Good.
Yeah, about Sandy Hook or even Columbine, I know that I got from a source that was not supposed to show this. It wasn't to the public, but I saw it. As the kids were coming out, they had dummies displayed. They laid out dummies.
Yeah.
Not real human beings to put on the show and the cameras and the whole nine yards.
Right.
So I know it's just, you know, it's all made up. It's an illusion, and they're just... portraying this picture, you know, to the minds of the ignorant.
It's Wag the Dog.
Yeah. So anyway.
Yeah.
But I just want to interject that. But you were also talking about not being able to have the opportunity to have a recording device or a video in the court system.
Right.
I'm part of the California Assembly, and one of our soldiers went down. He got a citation, going on his way to the Davis Strait seminar, and I don't know if you know about that, Anatoly, but we came to support him on his day in court, and we filed paperwork that challenged the judge to prove their oath of office.
Right.
And the day that we got there, the minute that we got there, he was out. He ran out the door.
Yeah.
He ran out the door.
Yeah.
And so we had to wait, and they waited till everybody left because they knew they saw us coming.
Yeah.
And now the whole entire courtroom is empty.
Yeah.
They made sure there was nobody eyewitnesses because they don't want this information to get out.
That's right. That's right.
And the judge says, you know what, I'm not going to handle this case, but I'm going to give you one opportunity. We're going to send you to the fourth floor, to the Supreme Court. This is just a regular citation. Now they're escalating it to the Supreme Court.
Uh-huh.
Now, in every courthouse, there's one floor that is supposedly common law, and but it's not a whole lot of business going on up there, right?
Right, right.
So we got up there, and they immediately, you know, said, give up your phones, any recording devices, and blah, blah, blah. And I was about to speak up, but this was like a whole learning experience. I'm seeing this for the first time.
Yeah.
So yeah. I'm not going to, you know, do anything. You know, I'm just going to go with it and just observe.
Right, right.
But next time, I would say, oh, no, you can't have my phone. Right.
Right,
and then it's because it's my
exactly.
right, but because we just wanted to just keep the flow going, see what was going to happen next.
Yeah,
you know, we got in there and then one of the bailiffs, you know, he got pissed off because Yvette, you know, she kind of told the prosecutor, "What is your full name? What is your full name?" And they go, "Okay, that's it. Everybody out of the room. Everybody out of the room."
Yeah.
Right. Because this is how they intimidate. This is how they get you to
absolutely
volunteer. You know, it's consent, right? Because they put you in fear, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we had and when he told me that, I went right up to his face and I said, "Is that an order?" I said, "Are you ordering me?" And he just kind of looked down and then my buddy, you know, he says, "Okay, what's your name?" "Don't touch me, don't touch me. That's assault." Assault. I said, "Dude, that's not assault." So we're back and forth, and then eventually we just like left the room.
Uh-huh.
Okay, now there was only Anatoly left in the room. I noticed the camera, because there's a red light, was turned off. All right, and yeah. So you have to make sure that it's being recorded.
Mm-hmm.
You have to make and so it wasn't being recorded, and it was just him and everybody else that was against him, right?
Right.
And so we told him, I said, "Don't consent. Don't." And when he says guilty, not guilty, no contender, you say no contract, contract. And we just kept trying to tell him that, but you know, when
it's intentionally confusing
when you're in a state of fear,
they do it that way on purpose.
Exactly. Yeah. You can't think straight.
Yeah.
Right. And then when he came out of the room and we say, "Okay, what happened?" "Well, I just pleaded not guilty." "Oh, man, really? You're not supposed to say that." But he got another day in court. We got it dismissed. But but this is the game that they play. They're very good at their game. They've been doing it for a very, very long time.
Yep.
And we just have to understand how to play the game.
Yeah, exactly. So I got a ticket during the middle of the worst of the lockdowns for exiting a carpool lane over the double yellow line, right? So I went to court and they said, "You have to wear a mask." I said, "No, I won't wear a mask." And the bailiff came out and he says, "Well, you have to wear a mask to come in here." And I said, "Well, you're compelling me to be here according to this ticket, and I can't wear a mask." And so he said, "Well, I'll go in and talk to the judge." Anyway, he goes in, talks to the judge after trying to intimidate me. He comes back out and he says, "Well, we'll reschedule." So they rescheduled. I show up again and same thing happens. Same bailiff comes out and says, "You have to wear a mask." And I said, "No, I'm exempt. I won't wear that." And then a sheriff comes out. And he apparently overruled this bailiff. And the sheriff starts talking to me and he says, "Well, you know, what's the problem? Can't you wear it?" And blah, blah, blah. And I said, "No." And I explained to him why. And he said, "Okay, I'll go inside, talk to the judge and see if the cop is even here for trial." And he goes inside. He comes back out a couple minutes later and he says, "Well, case has been dismissed. Cop isn't here." And he comes up to me and he goes, "Hey," kind of secret. And he goes, "Hey, I really respect what you're doing, man. And I'm glad this worked out for you." And, you know, and he was one of us. So even the cops, you know, there's good and bad in there. So you can win if you fight. But anyway, thanks, everybody. We'll open up the mics for anybody else that wants to talk. Okay. Thanks.